Welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. There is so much noise on the interweb these days about what women should and shouldn't be doing when it comes to their fitness and health. Not only is it all too often tied to shame and fixing our bodies, it can also be incredibly detrimental to our health and wellness overall. The Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast sorts through the BS and offers advice and actionable, tactile steps to support and build a better relationship to your amazing body through every stage of womanhood. It aims to break the cycle of keeping women in the dark about their extraordinary machines and revolutionize the way we move, eat, and live so that our daughters and our daughters' daughters look in the mirror and feel exactly what they are: fierce, beautiful, and capable of everything. The revolution starts here. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. And welcome to our anti-aging podcast, or as we'll soon be discussing, our pro-aging podcast. Fight it as we may, we're getting older. Why not learn to enjoy and optimize it? For centuries, all around the world, across many cultures, there have been stories passed down about the elusive fountain of youth, the elixir of life, the magnum opus, the sorcerer's stone, whatever you choose to call it. Usually, it comes at the conclusion of a dangerous quest and oftentimes has dire consequences attached. So dramatic. Humanity's inherent fear towards aging actually makes a lot of sense. As soon as we are born, a ticking clock is set, and as far as we know today, no matter who you are, what you do, the money you have or don't have, the fancy cars, the influence and fame, we are all equal in the eyes of death. So it sounds maybe like a bit of a morbid take, but honestly, I like to look at it as a reminder that life is finite and that we have this opportunity each and every single day to live to the fullest and to leave beautiful impressions on the lives we touch. Or we could choose to get caught up in worry, fear, rushing, fixing, diet, and burnout culture. There it is, diet and burnout culture. They do love to take mortality and wield it against us, knowing in each of our hearts, some louder than others, is that gentle tick, tick, tick of that clock. And they do an amazing combo of somehow simultaneously selling us experiences and products with the hashtag life is short, live a little, why don't you, packaged with the whole aging is bad and fight it as hard as you possibly can. But I got some news for you, everyone. We're all aging. It's inevitable. So instead of fearing it and fighting it and beating ourselves up because we're quote unquote losing to it, what if we flipped that mentality and instead supported our aging and worked with it to optimize our time on this earth? I was having a conversation with one of my close friends in LA on my last visit, and she's a little younger than me, but officially in the place where all of her friends are nestled firmly between 30 and 40, to which I say, young AF, my friends. She and I are pretty much in alignment with revolutions around the sun. There isn't a ton to fear in our books, and more so it just acts as motivation to continue to live big and to live better. But she was telling me about how she's gotten really into asking people around her how they feel about getting older now that they're marching towards their 40s. And the overwhelming response she got was one of fear. And there's a lot of different shades of this. Fear of aging out of their job. This is LA, so a lot of her friends are actors, and having been one myself, there is this not-so-funny joke in Hollywood that as a woman, you age out at age 25, aka by age 26, you're suddenly playing moms of 25-year-olds. There's fear of missing out on their window of having children. There's fear of losing their looks, again said in quotes. There's fear of becoming obsolete or losing their significance. Because if there's one thing at the heart of what drives us all, it's that feeling of purpose and significance. And behind that, driving that drive, is the deep human need for love and connection. My point here is it's more common to fear the inevitable, as far as I've seen in my life and the people around me. So, like so much of our relationship to self, constantly needing to lose weight, buying into fad diets and programs, changing our wardrobes annually or seasonally, new makeup trends, all of it. We have been conditioned to feel this way. And I'm not saying that money runs the world. Okay. No, I am. I definitely am. Industries thrive on keeping us afraid and feeling inadequate and then selling us their fountains of youth over and over and over again. According to Statista, a recognized database whose sources of information include market research, trade publications, scientific journals, and government databases, reported that the global anti-aging market was valued at around $62 billion. With a B, U.S. dollars in 2021, and is expected to increase to some $93 billion by 2027. And y'all, that was just skin and hair treatment. That didn't include any cosmetic surgeries or dental care or dietary measures. So tack those puppies on, and that market is sitting real pretty. So no wonder they want to keep us terrified of getting older and making us feel more and more worthless and unattractive with every year this lifetime graces us. Here's the deal. As always, your body, your rules, 1000%, no questions asked. I will never, ever, ever judge you for anything you choose to do. There is nothing I want more for you than to feel confident in your amazing body and healthier than you were in your 20s. But this is where the anti-aging industry really becomes problematic. So much like the diet and fitness industry, not individuals, when it comes to your overall health and your longevity, simply put, corporations do not give a flying fudge about your health. If their goal was a long-term autonomous solution that helped you learn to live better, they'd theoretically lose you as a customer. It's not a big cash cow. Even worse, these industries, diet, fitness, and anti-aging, sell you things that not only do not create autonomy in your life, but are straight up detrimental to your health. It's hard for me to say which one in my mind is worse when it comes to the food and diet industry or the anti-aging industry, but I think the anti-aging industry actually takes the cake pretty significantly because at least we need food. Makeup and creams we could 100% live without. Again, totally your choice. I love it all, but it's not a necessity for true life. Hang with me because we're going to get into the weeds a bit before we talk about solutions. And I don't want this to come off as me just posing a major scare tactic, but you know me. I am all about transparency and informed consumerism, and I went a long time not knowing these things, and I've been studying them over the last 5 to 6 years, and it is just something that I feel like we all should know when we go out and purchase things. Whatever you choose to do after this information, I love that for you, but at least you'll know. I am going to include a podcast in my show notes by the genius functional nutritionist, Aaron Holt, that goes into endocrine disruptors in our day-to-day products. But here's the long and very short of it. A study published in the National Library of Medicine of over 42,000 women reported that the average American woman uses an average of 12 care products a day. This study, by the way, is fascinating, and I am also attaching it in the show notes for all my fellow nerds out there. The majority of these products contain endocrine disruptors. And I'm going to kick it to the scientists and researchers over at the Endocrine Society to explain those. Endocrine disrupting chemicals, or EDCs, are chemicals or mixtures of chemicals that interfere with the way the body's hormones work. Real fast, in case you need a fast reminder, hormones are chemical substances that act like messenger molecules in the body and are responsible for the way our body functions. So some familiar hormones are our sex hormones, like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, to name a few. Also cortisol, which deals with stress, melatonin, which deals with sleep, dopamine and oxytocin, which are our feel-goods, gastrin, which helps with metabolism and release of bile, insulin, which stabilizes blood sugar. So they do the most, like I said, from metabolism to fertility to sleep, all of it. If there's a takeaway you're getting from this, it's that we don't want to mess with our hormones. Okay, so let's go back to the Endocrine Society. They say that some EDCs, those endocrine disrupting chemicals that we find in our products like creams, makeup, soaps, cleaners, act like hormone mimics and trick our body into thinking that they are hormones, while other EDCs block natural hormones from doing their job. Other EDCs can increase or decrease the level of hormones in our blood by affecting how they are made, broken down, or stored in our body. Finally, other EDCs can change how sensitive our bodies are to different hormones. EDCs may disrupt many different hormones, which is why they've been linked to numerous adverse human health outcomes, including alteration in sperm quality and fertility, abnormalities in sex organs, endometriosis, early puberty, altered nervous system function, immune function, certain cancers, respiratory problems, metabolic disease, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular problems, growth, neurological and learning disabilities, and more. Yeah, it's heavy, and it is just freely out there on our shelves. ChemTrust, an organization set to protect humans and animals from toxic chemicals, are going to finish us up with this. We splash EDCs on our face, rub them in our armpits, even swill them around our mouths. Our bathroom today are stocked with shampoos, deodorants, soaps, pastes, creams, and scrubs, all cooked up to make us feel, look, and smell good. There's also sun creams and toothpaste, gels and masks, perfumes and shaving creams. But the sense of youth, beauty, and good health that they give us could be a dangerous illusion. Because, ironically, many of our daily health and beauty products contain synthetic chemicals, including many endocrine disruptors, that can be harmful to our health. The problem is widespread across many types of products and brands, and legislation isn't yet protecting us against all the harmful chemicals in cosmetics and personal hygiene products. So, side note, companies are not regulated in that they do not have to list the sometimes over 100 ingredients used to create a fragrance, all of which contain some variation of an endocrine disrupting chemical. So one very small step towards a non-toxic life, which actually, once you start to look around your house, is going to feel not so small, is to look for products in all areas of life. We're talking creams, shampoos, cleaning products that are fragrance-free. And this can feel really overwhelming because, like I said, when you start to turn things around in your house, you're going to realize fragrance is in almost everything we have. So bit by bit. Chemtech also suggests sticking with products that are greenlit in the EU, as their policies towards harmful substances in day-to-day life are far stricter than ours in America. And just as like a good rule of thumb, this very much goes with food as well. We're not going to talk about it today, but similar lack of control exists when it comes to looking on an ingredients list and seeing flavors. There's hundreds of chemicals or little things that go into flavors, even natural flavors, that can have a harmful effect on our body. So the funny thing is, when I set out to write this particular podcast on the fountain of youth, I wasn't planning on diving into endocrine disrupting chemicals because it does feel a little out of my lane. But when push came to shove, when we're talking about aging well and longevity in general, addressing the things that disrupt our hormones and make us sick or sicker, or at the very least stand in the way of our progress when we're doing the most in every other area of our life, it felt like it would be incredibly irresponsible of me not to at least draw your attention to these things so you can do your own research and make some informed decisions on your own and in your own home. So no, I'm not a hormone expert, but there are a lot of hormone experts out there like Aaron Holt, who actually has a whole program about going through your hormone revival project, I think it's called. We're not related. I would love to be Aaron Holt's best friend. So if you ever listen to this, Aaron Holt, please know you're my hero. But my point is, I don't get any kickback from this. This is just because I've done her programs and they've changed my life. But point is, there are true experts who have dedicated their lives to working with women who have clocked hundreds, heck, tens of thousands of clinical hours with women. Women who are doing all the right things on paper. They were moving their body, they were healing their gut, they were working on sleep and stress management, and still they weren't able to lose weight or regulate their thyroid or whatever the case may be. And the solution ended up being cutting down on toxins in their day-to-day world. It is a big deal. And it is pretty freaking wild that in our attempts to fight off the hands of death with anti-aging creams, under-eye creams, soaps, all these things that are sold to us, we actually quicken our date with destiny because we're sold products that destroy our body and their functions. Okay, I get heated and I'm going to just wrap this part up and move on to the empowering stuff, but I highly recommend checking out the links I'm dropping in the show notes, at least as a starting place. And please, always feel free to reach out to me with more questions if they arrive, and I will happily point you to more experts. Feel free to shoot me an email at kinsey@raiderfitacademy.com. And again, if you take one thing away from this ep, start to cut down on fragrances. Okay? We love that. Now, you ready for the actual free AF fountain of youth? Yeah, you are. Okay, $20 to whomever can guess what I'm about to quote Dr. Gabrielle Lyon on. Bueller? Bueller? That's right, muscle. It's our longevity organ. As she puts it, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, that is, muscle is perhaps the most important organ system to combat our current health crisis, regain exceptional health, and maximize physical performance. Muscle health becomes more important as we age, yet is often the most overlooked, even by modern-day medical practices. Muscle-centric medicine focuses on this, the organ of longevity. Muscle is fast becoming the sixth vital sign. Awooga. I love it. Personally, I've been coaching women for the last 10 years, and somehow this undeniable knowledge is so buried. We get so hung up on fitness as a way to lose weight or get jacked for aesthetics that I didn't even truly understand the full picture of the benefits of muscle. For many years, my education, we get certified through the National Academy of Sports Medicine and have to do continued education every single year. All of my education, for the most part, until I went out on my own, off the beaten path, was focused on scientific programming for workouts to provide results-based outcomes for my clients, whatever their goals were aesthetically. And that's super important. And it is the base of everything I do. And if I didn't have 10 years of experience growing on that, tacking on this next level would have been a little more challenging, which is why it's become such a privilege to expand, to realize there's like so many things. The longer you're in a profession, the more you realize you don't know. And I think that the best educators we can find and the best people we can practice with are going to be the people who admit the further they get in practice, the further they get from knowing everything. Remaining teachable and humble is, in my book, the number one thing I look for. Obviously, someone who's well-educated and have done their hours too, but in an educator and a trainer and a leader. But anyway, the point is, sure, I have in the past 10 years seen hundreds and actually more like thousands at this point of clients and students change their bodies and start to feel better as they got consistent with their workouts. But it wasn't until this last year when I had a client who was deep in perimenopause getting gaslit by her own doctors that I took the deep dive into the true meaning of muscle health and why we feel better and why some people age healthier. It's not just the roll of the dice, my friends. It's very intentional movement and programming and fueling. At the time when I started doing my darndest to help this client transition through perimenopause, I had no idea the journey that I was embarking on. And I'm so grateful to her for her patience with me and for our process that we've gone through together. It is crazy to me that the decades worth of science and case studies supporting muscle as the number one defense we have against age-related illness and disease is out there and being practiced every single day, but has somehow missed the mainstream. We should be standing on top of every single roof, just screaming at the top of our sweet little lungs. But the general population has no idea. I'm in the fitness industry, and I didn't even know the full extent. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that being stronger is better, but the extent to why? Girl, it is a crazy disservice, and I feel like I truly believe, and that's part of the reason that I started this women's fitness and health revolution podcast, because I truly, truly believe that part of that revolution, if more women and men knew the actual benefits they could glean from a mere 2 30-minute session strength training or 2 30-minute strength training sessions a week, that's it. So many of our lives, especially towards the end of them, would have vastly healthier trajectories. When we think of getting old, I think it's pretty commonplace to think of getting sicker and frailer. And while there is an undeniable difference in our physiology in our 70s versus our 20s, especially ladies, our hormones are completely different stories in these decades, it doesn't mean that our conclusion has to be a gradual decline into sickness until we die. I've talked about this before, but let's discuss just how a high percentage of lean muscle mass swiftly becomes our fountain of youth. Or as Dr. Gabrielle Lyon says, our body armor. Right off the bat, let's tackle the obvious. More muscle makes us stronger. Duh. But as we age, that becomes a huge benefit to our quality of life. That's that body armor. We become less frail. We become less prone to falls and stronger, so should we fall, we're able to catch ourselves safely and not get hospitalized with a broken bone. There is crazy stats that have to do with elderly folk who end up hospitalized and the amount of muscle mass we lose from bed rest. It's out of control. Dr. Gabrielle Lyon has a great, great source of research on that. There's also JJ Virgin has some good information on that. There's others that I can't think of right now, so I'll get you in another episode because, you know, we'll talk about this again. But the point is, you're more mobile, which is hugely beneficial as we age and have a natural delubrication of our joints and connective tissue. A good test of mobility you can do at home right now is asking yourself, can I get off the floor without using my hands? And if the answer is no, congrats. You have an exceptional goal ahead of you. And yes, I am absolutely talking about at every single age. Muscle is also a huge contributor to a healthy immune system, both when it comes to prevention of illness and the ability to combat infections and recover from injury. Because after all, injury is, at least in part, acute inflammation. Muscle also stabilizes our blood sugar and allows us to utilize nutrients from the food we eat, which becomes harder for our bodies to do as we get older. Hence the reason that we need to increase our levels of protein as we age. Stable blood sugar is also the basis of a healthy life. Another thing that Dr. Gabrielle Lyon and her colleagues agree on that I would love to see shift in the mainstream is that obesity, which encapsulates 40% of adults in the U.S., and that number is rising, is less an endemic of being overfat. So we tend to focus exclusively on fat loss instead of what it actually is and where the issues come from, which is being under-muscled. And again, episode 6, I quote this all the time, but it's a really good one to go back to, fat loss versus strength training. That's episode 6 of this podcast. And I love the way Dr. Gabrielle Lyon phrases it. She says loss of muscle leads to rise in cortisol, insulin, stress hormones, and blood sugar levels. These issues can occur quietly without significant gains in weight. So that's that lack of muscle versus excess of fat, which is why it's vital to measure these markers in your internal health. So what she's saying here is that we can actually start to decline in our health before we reach the state of obesity. By focusing on the potential of increasing muscle strength instead of the pathology of obesity, we treat disease and create a platform for sustainable vitality and dynamic wellness. I want that, right? Raise your hand. That sounds pretty darn good. Which brings me to almost the final for today, which is the most important one in my book. It plum keeps us healthy. Muscle prevents the onset of chronic disease, heart conditions, diabetes, and decreases the risk of neurological disorders. There are studies on studies on studies that show this, but one that I'm just going to quote today was a study published in the Frontiers of Neuroscience, which I'm also going to pop in the show notes. This one's a little bit denser, but if you're feeling like a good read, check it out. It states that in addition to its benefits in developing muscle strength, balance, and muscular endurance, favoring improvements in the quality of life in the elderly, resistance exercise reduces amyloid load and local inflammation, promotes memory and cognitive improvements, and protects the cortex and hippocampus from the degeneration that occurs in Alzheimer's disease. So to put it simply, resistance training, strength training, aids in preventing and at the very least delaying symptoms of Alzheimer's. Again, that sounds pretty good to me. 2 30-minute sessions a week, delaying the symptoms or preventing Alzheimer's altogether? Sign me up. Okay, there is a bonus reason that I'm going to sneak in here today, and it is a bit on the more woo-woo side, but honestly, if you've been around the wellness world for any amount of time, you probably know by now that most woo-woo is straight up backed by science at this point. And that is that strength training gives us a sense of purpose and accomplishment. We feel stronger and more capable. Where our attention goes, our energy flows. So if we are making muscle-supported choices, it's almost impossible not to feel the shift in vitality. Plus, it gives us something to do. I don't know if you're retired or if you know someone who's retired. I had both my parents recently retire, and you, at least in this home, there's been a palpable shift of, I've spent the last 40 years in the workforce. What do I do now, and who am I now? And this gives you a very tangible and inspiring thing to do. But outside of that, also, it's crazy because we can slather on a cream or get a Botox injection, and yet by the time 3 p.m. rolls around, we're in a serious energy slump and suddenly we're crashing. Strength training gives us our energy back. It gives us our energy to enjoy and explore and do things with our life, to be with the people we love, to see the things we didn't get to see when we were active parts of the workforce, to live a whole new chapter of our life based on exploration and adventure, if that's what you want. And if at the very least it gives you energy and longevity and presence with your loved ones, with your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children. It also supports the belief that we are valuable. Remember when I mentioned all the way back at this episode, my friend and I talking about how some of her friends' fears were that they were to become obsolete? You deserve to feel valuable. You deserve to feel good. And you are so capable of doing it on your own for as long as you want. The best part of this, and here comes my broken record, this stuff does not take full life overhauls. It takes small decisions made every single day. Our body is wildly adaptable, yes, even as we age. And sure, it does get harder and harder to build lean muscle as we age, but that's all the more reason to get started today. And the cool thing, if you're new to fitness or newly back, no matter what age you are, you are going to start feeling these benefits within the first 4 to 6 weeks of training with only 2 to 3 days per week of 30-minute strength training sessions. And as always, if you are feeling hopeless or overwhelmed or just have no idea where to get started, please, please, please jump on the interest list for our next round of Strength Foundation for Women and let me help you not just learn what to do and how to do it, but to guide you through those 3 months at the top of your training together and help you set up for long-term success on your own after the program concludes. Our next session is going to be in September of 2024, but if you hop on the interest list today, I'll be providing tons of free tips and advice for getting started and staying started right into your inbox every single week. So make sure to check the show notes out and get your name on that list. At the end of the day, I want to encourage us all to shift the way we think about the last half of our stories. Rather than combating and fearing the inevitable, how can we shift our perspective and choices to reflect optimizing it and making the most out of this one precious life? My hope for you today is that you walk away pro-muscle, and here it comes, pro-aging, because life is too short to wish the second half or two-thirds were anything different than the wonderful gift they are. You and your body are so worth it. As always, if you got something out of this podcast today or know a friend or loved one who would benefit from the things we chat about in this pod, it would mean the world to me if you liked it, reviewed it, or shared the podcast. This is the only way this pod makes it out into the world to help spread this revolution and help women take their health back and age well. And to you, dear listener, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I do not take your time for granted, and I am so freaking grateful that you chose to spend this last chunk of your day with me learning how to support your beautiful self. Until next time, aroo!